Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to explore key insights from different sources, bringing them together for you. Today, we're looking closely at the life of a local church community. Our source is the Sunday night message from Brother Steve, August 10th, 2025, over at the New Life Benson YouTube channel.
That's a fascinating glimpse.
It really is. He started off with a kind of funny reference to the Twilight Zone, you know, about getting control of our attention.
Right.
But as we listened to the whole message, the transcript really, what came through was this surprisingly detailed picture of faith being lived out, you know, through fellowship, service, collective prayer.
Exactly. And our goal here really is to see what these, let's say, everyday details of church life, the announcements, the prayer requests, what they can show us about our own faith journey and maybe our collective purpose.
What's quite illuminating, I think, is how these regular rhythms, these activities, they sort of reveal the church's real heart, its commitment to its members.
Mm-hmm. It's like piecing together a snapshot of Christianity in action, you know, not just theories, but practical support. These aren't just admin points. They're the threads weaving the community together.
Okay, so let's start with those community updates Brother Sheep shared. It's quite something seeing how much one church is juggling, keeping so many things going at once.
It is. And these announcements, they're like vital signs, aren't they? Showing an active, engaged community. They point outwards. They show care for different age groups and a real effort to connect people more than just calendar dates.
Definitely. And one of the first things mentioned was a clear focus on missions. Aiden Ministries, Sherman, and Tammy.
Right. He mentioned knowing them a long time.
Yeah, even from way back. Involved in youth music at a revival. And what struck me wasn't just, you know, global outreach, but that long-term relationship behind it.
That's a really good point. It suggests missions built on deep personal trust, not just sending money somewhere abstractly.
Right. A more sustained personal kind of impact, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It highlights that distinction. Cultivating relationships, not just funding projects.
Mm.
That personal link means more accountability, real care, a better grasp of the work. It shows how local can connect globally through that intentional commitment.
And moving from that global reach, there's also the daily sort of spiritual anchor, the memory voice for August.
Ah, yes. Psalm 99, verse 5. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy.
How does something like a shared verse work in a community setting, do you think?
Well, a shared verse like that, it acts as a real unifying element. It gives everyone a common point of focus for reflection, encouraging that collective reverence for God's holiness.
Like a grounding point.
Exactly. In a world pulling us every which way, that shared scripture is like a compass, helping everyone stay grounded in, you know, foundational truth. It builds spiritual discipline together, subtly but powerfully.
And then from the spiritual to the very tangible, something that really stood out was the Heads for Hope ministry.
Oh, yeah. Providing caps for people who've lost their hair. Such a specific, sensitive need.
It really is. And Brother Steve even shared that funny story about himself, you know, getting close to John Concert Club and thinking about shaving his head.
Right.
It just made the whole thing feel very relatable, very human, a very approachable way to talk about service.
That anecdote, along with the ministry itself, it just paints a picture of practical compassion, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It shows a church looking at specific, sometimes vulnerable human needs and meeting them with empathy, even a little humor. Seeing individuals, not just causes.
And alongside that, also available were these blessing cards and prayed for you cards.
Simple things, but quite powerful.
Yeah, tangible ways for people to show they care right there in the foyer, easy to grab and give. And speaking of growth, the kids and student program starting up Wednesday.
New Life kids and students, yeah.
Yeah.
Expecting 60 to 70 children.
That number, 60 to 70 kids, what does that signal for a local church these days?
Oh, it's significant. It really highlights the importance they place on, let's call it spiritual inheritance. Passing faith on.
Mm-hmm.
At a time when, frankly, many churches struggle to engage younger generations, expecting that many kids shows real vitality. They're actively investing in the future, making sure faith and values get passed down. It's about building for the long haul.
Okay, now this next one sounds particularly fun, the BYOJ event.
Bring your own Java cup.
Right. An experience experiment, he called it. A new monthly fellowship thing coming up on the 17th.
And the food suggestions are great.
Weren't they? Casseroles, fruit, and I love this, large thick pieces of bacon drowned in maple syrup.
Yes, and even Angus's potato chips, gotta mention.
It just sounds like a fantastic, relaxed way to build fellowship over a shared meal.
Absolutely. That BYOG idea, It speaks volumes about fostering that informal connection. It's not just the structured service, it's creating spaces where people can just be together, build relationships over food. Those less formal times are often where the real community bonds tighten, wouldn't you say?
I think so.
Yeah.
And beyond those fun events, there's clearly structure too. The elders meeting monthly on the 18th.
And the New Life Women's Fellowship, Saturday the 23rd at Marcia's house. Need to sign up for that one.
Right, for prep. So you see both the leadership structure and these smaller group connection points. And for signing up, the New Life app.
Ah, yes, the app. He had that funny little fumble, didn't he? Google Store, Play Store.
Yeah, but he confirmed it's available. What does that mix tell you, traditional meetings and, you know, a smartphone app?
It suggests they're grounded but also adaptable. Elders meetings point to stable leadership. The women's group shows specific connection opportunities. And the app, even with a slight stumble, shows they're willing to use current tools to make things easier, to engage people where they are, aware of today's world, but still warm and approachable.
And one last announcement thing, the call for contributions to the newsletter, September, October edition.
Right, asking for articles, recipes, jokes, even buy-sell items.
That really suggests an inclusive, participatory feel, doesn't it? Where everyone's input is valued, not just news from the top.
Precisely. It turns the newsletter from just an info sheet into a shared space reflecting the community's life. It fosters ownership, encourages people to share their gifts, their stories, practical stuff too. Makes everyone feel like they have a part to play in building things up.
So the announcements paint this picture of a really vibrant, active church body. So many different avenues for involvement.
A lot going on.
But while that showed the activity, I think the real emotional core, where you feel the shared faith most deeply, that came out during the prayer time.
Yes. This is where you really see the community bearing burdens together.
Definitely. Here's where it gets, well, very real.
And if you step back and look at the bigger picture, this long list of prayer requests, it goes beyond just individual problems. It shows this deep commitment to praying for each other, supporting each other, and openly facing life's challenges with faith. It lays bare the community's reliance on God.
It started simply enough. Brother Jim needing help with microphones. Practical. Then Steve and Eva Adams' prayer for Eva's real bad headaches and also for their grandkids returning home. So personal health and family concerns mixed together.
Very common, relatable needs.
But then came the request for Allie. And this one was really detailed, quite poignant.
Yes, I remember that.
Brother Steve shared she's in a bad spot, not in her apartment, under state care, on mood-altering drugs causing great issues. And she's not communicative. The specific plea was for a way to communicate with her. Sharing something that vulnerable, that detailed, in a public church setting, what does that say about their approach to care?
Allie's situation, shared with that level of honesty, it's a powerful sign of the deep personal care there. It shows they don't avoid complex, difficult struggles. Bringing those specifics out fosters real empathy, allows for truly focused prayer. It points to a church culture of trust, transparency, where they commit to walking with people through the absolute hardest times.
Then Doug Miller surgery in a lot of pain. Valerie Miller had posted it on Facebook. Brother Steve admitted he didn't know all the details.
But the care was immediate.
Exactly. And Tony, who helps with painting and yard work at the church, facing high sugar, diabetes, maybe needing the ER. So care extending to those serving the church, too.
Important.
And Nikki's sister, Janie Sterana, experiencing panic attacks and anxiety attacks. And Brother Steve's comment there, just brief, but it struck me, it's a tough world, isn't it?
That comment, it's a tough world, really connects. It's an acknowledgement, isn't it, of the pressures, the anxieties people face today in this often dark, complex world.
Mm-hmm.
Including these varied health issues, physical pain, mental health struggles like panic attacks, shows the church is grappling with the full range of human vulnerability. They're addressing these realities directly, offering spiritual support.
And there was a bit of good news tucked in there, too. Chase is doing relatively well. Brother Ken gave the update. Always good to hear those moments.
Moments of hope.
Then back to practical needs. Property sales. Renee's dad's place in Ramsey Canyon. Anita's daughter Tamara's house near Phoenix. It's interesting how those everyday, almost mundane things are brought to God just as seriously.
Shows faith isn't separate from real life.
Right. And then a moment of real vulnerability from Brother Steve himself. Asking for prayer, for strength for the pastor. Acknowledging the stress of trying to help people who don't want to listen.
That's a powerful moment. It really strips away any facade, showing the real burden and, frankly, the personal cost of spiritual leadership. Guiding people, especially when they're resistant, it's immensely challenging.
Must be.
And that vulnerability, I think, builds unity. It reminds everyone that leaders need support and prayer, too. It's authentic.
And finally, continued prayer for Joyce and for Brother Steve to have the right words for the hospital situation, and a specific prayer for Karen for a compassionate heart and sweet spirit when dealing with hospital admin.
Again, that detail. It shows the depth of care.
So looking at that whole range of requests, microphones, health crises, mental health, property, leadership burdens, it does make you ask, doesn't it? What does it really mean to be a community that brings everything before God?
Mm-hmm. This community shows that nothing seems too small, nothing too overwhelming to be lifted up together. It highlights this profound reliance on God's wisdom, God's intervention in every single part of life.
And the prayer itself captured that beautifully.
It really did. Yeah. Brother Steve prayed, Heavenly Father, we come to you now, Lord, and we lift up these prayer requests, Lord, knowing that you are sovereign in all things, for that we're thankful.
That acknowledgement of sovereignty.
Right. If it were up to us, sometimes, Lord, we would just give up. But we know that you are a God that is all infinite, all powerful, all knowing, all loving, all seeing. And thus, Lord, we come before you and we lay these prayer requests before you, knowing that you know and that you have a way through these things, not man's way, but God's way. And for that, we are thankful. It centers everything on God's capability, not human limitations.
And the prayer didn't stop at just their immediate circle.
No, it broadened out. He prayed about so many lost and undone that I know so many that need physical healing, so many that need mental healing, a nation that's broken, a world in turmoil, that directly addresses the challenges of our times, the brokenness we see spiritually, physically, societally. It acknowledges that dark world context.
But it didn't leave it there in despair.
Not at all. It points straight to the answer. But we know one thing, Lord Jesus is the answer. That he's the true author of peace, and as such, Lord, we can always come to him. That's the anchor. That's the foundation for hope and action, even when things seem chaotic.
And it ended with that desire.
Yes. May you use us. I pray that we be usable people. A commitment to action, to being part of God's work.
So, reflecting on all this, what does it really mean for you listening right now? I think this look into just one Sunday night message shows us that a church, at its best, isn't just a building or a schedule, it's a living community.
Mm-hmm. A breathing community.
Dedicated to really actively caring for each other and relying on God through, well, everything. It's about shared strength, practical love, and a faith that meets both the everyday stuff and the huge challenges.
And ultimately, it's a reminder, isn't it, that even with all the trials, the turmoil in the world that the prayer acknowledged so honestly, the real answer, the strength to move forward, it comes through faith. It comes through genuine fellowship, and it comes through that commitment to being, as the prayer said, usable people in God's hands.
It highlights that call we all have, maybe, to actively participate, to bring some light, some hope into the challenges right around us, not just for ourselves, but for our communities, and maybe even beyond.
So here's a thought to leave you with. Considering the challenges we see all around us, personally and globally, how might actively seeking to be a usable person right where you are and your sphere of influence, how might that practically contribute to being part of bringing God's peace into this world in a tangible way?
Something to consider. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. Until next time, keep seeking, keep learning, and keep living out your faith.